All right, Rebbe, say good morning, good morning. Let us begin. Meretz Hashem, today's daf is Pehe 85. We are going to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's share, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Menachem Av, Benjamin and Elise Wall, from the Tanya Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushos this month in honor of Moshe Abramson and Jeremy Lassen, who enable all of those outside of our physical base medrash to continue to learn with us each and every day. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Nathan and Beth Adler, in memory of Nathan's father, Hachaver Baruch Mordechai ben Moreno Rav Nosson, on the occasion of his first yahrzeit on the 23rd of Av. We hope that the neshama has an aliyah and the family a nechama. So we'll say today's daf is Pehei 85. We have a lot to do today. Mir Hashem, we are picking up Tan Rabbanon. Right, towards the end, correct? Do we get all the way to the right? Good. Tanur Rabbanon. So we'll say, so six lines up from the bottom. So if you remember again, in yesterday's daf, we were introduced to this very interesting idea, and we'll see the Rambam today as well. The concept about the impact of a Tanai before the Torah or after the Torah. So let's continue on that theme. Tanur Rabbanon, Kolat Tanoin Psulin Beget Divrei Rebbe. So we'll say, this is fascinating. So Rebbe comes along and says, any Tanai, any condition, by definition, invalidates a get. That was, and what's the chiddush of that? Take a look at Rashi. Poslin beget im kasvu besocho. If you write a tanai in a get, that tanai by definition invalidates the get. Vafilu niskayim hatanai. Even if halacha lemaisa, you actually fulfill the condition. So fascinating idea. Any tanai written in the get by definition invalidates the get, even if the tanai was fulfilled. The chamim or the chamim say, Kol sheposel al peh, posel b'ksav. The kol sheina posel al peh, ina posel b'ksav. The chum say it depends. Any tanai that by definition would invalidate if articulated will invalidate if written in the get. And any condition that doesn't invalidate if verbally articulated will not invalidate if included in the get. Chutz sheposel al peh, posel b'ksav. So this goes back to the beginning of the parak. Chutz, lashon of chutz, which ultimately, again, will invalidate if verbally articulated, will also invalidate in the text or in the get itself. Al-Minas, she'in aposa alpa, in aposa b'ksav. But al-Minas, which does not invalidate if articulated verbally, will not invalidate if included in the document. So Amar Rabbi Zera says, Machlokes lefnei atoref. This whole machlokes is regarding whether or not, is regarding if the condition was included before the Torah. So remember again, the Torah includes the information that is get specific or couple specific. Toface is the boilerplate stuff. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Savar, Gazunan Almanas Atuchos. Rebbe says, ultimately again, Almanas, where goes your Almanas, lest you come to go ahead and say Chutz. Rabbanan Savri, Lo Gazunan Almanas Atuchos. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, don't hold Almanas Atuchos. Aval Achar Torah. But if halacha lemaisa, again, we're talking about after the Torah, top of Pehei, Divrei HaKol Kosher. Everyone agrees, ultimately, again, it will be fine. I will say, we'll discuss, we're going to see the Rambam, where all of this will become clearer in just a little bit. Umas Nisin, Diktani Kasvu, and the Mishnah, which ultimately, again, has that they wrote it in, Vokimna B'chutz, and ultimately, it must be talking about a case of Chutz. Ava Almanas Lo Pasol. But Almanas would not invalidate if included in the get. So I will say, what we have over here is something very interesting, which is now, after all of this discussion about Tanaim and Eget, Tanaim and Eget, you have Rebbe coming along and saying, by the way, do not write any Tanaim in Eget. And if you write any Tanaim in Eget, by definition, that will invalidate everything. Chachamim saying, no, excuse me, it depends on the nature of the Tanaim. Ibai saying, another possibility, a second line down from the top, Pei Hei Amadalif, good, thank you. Ibai Sema. The other possibility is, Fibayis Ema, La'achar HaToref V'Divrei HaKol. Other possibility is talking about it tonight after the Torah, and it reflects the view of everyone. The Rava Amar Machlokes Li'achar HaToref. The Machlokes will be ultimately if the Tanai is included after the Torah. The Rebbe Sava, Rebbe says, Atul Lefnei HaToref. Rebbe is concerned ultimately again, lest you come to include a Tanai before the Torah. Rabbanan Savri Lo Gazunan, and the Rabbanan hold that we are not concerned, right? The Lo Gazunan Atuf Ne'at Torah. We are not concerned lest you come to include it tonight before the Torah. Avalif Ne'at Torah Divra Kol Pasal. But if indeed you include it tonight before the Torah, everyone will agree that Allah said that would invalidate. Umas Nisin Diktoni Kisvu Vokimna Bochotz. And the Mishnah that discusses the writing of a Tanai, we must be talking about that it's a chutz, Rabban will say, Lashon of chutz, Ava Almanas lo pasul, but Almanas ultimately again would not invalidate La'achra HaTorah, Rabbanan, and there, that would be a case of after the Torah, and it would reflect the view of the Rabbanan. Good. So Tani Avua de Rabbi Avin Kamed Rabbi Zera. Kasav Get, so we'll say, we'll finish till the Mishnah, and then I'll show you the Rambam. So Tani Avua de Rabbi, Tani Avua de Rabbi Avin Kamed Rabbi Zera. Kasav Get al Tanai Divri HaKol Pasul. If you write the Get with a Tanai, everyone agrees it's Pasul. Divri HaKol Pasul, everybody agrees that it's Pasul. Baha Miflag Pligi, we just saw that it's Machlokas. Ela'ima l'divrei ha'kol kasher. Okay, that's a switch. Rather, no, what it means to say is everyone agrees it's kasher. All right, v'heichi dami, what's the case? La'achar ha'toref. The case would be of a t'nai that is included in the get, but it is included after the toref. So after the part of the get that is couple specific, ultimately, again, a t'nai could be kasher. V'leima harei ze pasul v'rebi. So ultimately, maybe you should say that it's pasul and reflects the view of Rebbe. Tana divrei hakol asni. So ultimately, again, I will say the lashon of the Tana was in a situation where everyone agrees. So kasher bepasal michlafle. So one could get confused. In other words, in the recording of the Brice, it could be that there's a confusion between kasher and pasal. Hareze bedivrei hakol lo michlafle. But ultimately, again, a lashon of divrei hakol that would not get mixed up. So I will say, so halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So I'll share with you a really fascinating Rambam. So the Rambam here. Actually, there's a couple of Rambams from yesterday's daf also, but let me just start with this one. So this is Rambam Hilchos Gerushin Perek Ches Halacha Dalet. So listen to the Lashon of the Rambam. So we'll say, so now, we essentially, this, just you should know, this Mishnah, actually, it doesn't really close out tonight, there's still more. Kasav HaTnai Beget Achar Shegamar Lichtov Torah. So let me just take one step back. When dealing with a Tanai in Gittin, remember, a Tanai can manifest itself in two ways. The classic way that we were dealing with really up until this point in time is a verbal t'nai. In other words, he's giving her a get, and it's just a regular get. There's nothing written or reflected in the document itself. So that's a much easier type of case. Why? Because we'll say, if the t'nai works, if it's a valid t'nai, great. If it's an invalid t'nai, then what? Then what? All he really have, well, if it's an invalid t'nai, then it could be void. But if it's a wrongful type of t'nai, technically speaking, the way to remedy it is, he can always take the get back and give it to her again. Where things become complicated is when a t'nai is written in the document itself. So that's what the Rambam is dealing with over here. That's our sugya now. Listen to this. Kasef ha-t'nai beget, acha shekamer lichtov toref ha-get, harei ze get kasher. So case number one is, if you write a t'nai in the get, and you're writing it after the toref, ultimately, again, the get is kasher. The get is kasher. Beisha kasu kodim chasim haseidim. Beisha kasu achak ksim haseidim. Fine. Whether you write it before the signatures of the witnesses, after the signatures of the witnesses, it doesn't matter. If you're writing it after the Torah, you're fine. Avalim kasu kodim Torah haget. Afilu kasu al minas kach v'kach. Hare ze sofek gerishin. Rambam Paskins, anytime you write in a t'nai in the get, and ultimately, again, it's before the Toref. So I will say, remember again, the Rambam says, even if it's a valid t'nai, in other words, even if the t'nai is fine, what's an example of a t'nai that everyone agrees is okay? This is your get on the condition you give me $1,000. It works. No one is going to contest the validity of that t'nai. But if you write that before the Toref, ultimately the Rambam says you're suffering migureshes. It's not clear if it's an effective get. Why? But we'll say, what's the problem? Sharei nishar lo zuchus begufo shall get. Because what he's doing is, he is establishing some level of zuchos, some level of entitlement in the actual, in the kishkas, right? In the meat of the get. The toref is the meat of the get. The toref is the ikar. In that part, the husband cannot create anything that is an entitlement to himself. Because that's lo chap of a get. But say, what does a get do? a get dissolves a marriage. By including a t'nai in the toref, what the husband is doing is he's creating some level of personal entitlement in that ikar part of the get that is supposed to dissolve the very marriage itself. Therefore, the Rambam says that halacha lemaisa, it's safek megureshes. So very interesting. Okay, there's more to it. There's more to it. But lemaisa, we'll leave that for now. All right, if we have time today, I'll go back to a couple of other interesting sugyas that we did yesterday. But let's first cover a little bit of ground over here. Says the Mishnah. Good. I was say that closes out that sugya. Hari akuntaris lechol adam ela la'abo la'avicha. So some interesting cases as well. Right? Reuven gives Rachel a get. He says, this is your get. You are permitted to every man except to my father and to your father. Okay. La'achi u'la'achicha, to my brother and to your brother. Li'aved u'la'oved kochavim, to an aved or to an idolater. Kasher. Now both say, the come down in all of these cases is these are men she can't marry anyway. She can't marry anyway. So the Mishnah says the Tanai is not introducing any new level of prohibition. She couldn't marry these guys anyway. Therefore such a Tanai ultimately again is fine. In other words, it's pretty much meaningless. It's meaningless. Doesn't impact the get. Fine. Hari akmutaris lechol adam, if ultimately again he says to her, you are hereby mutaris to any man, ella amana lekohen gadol, but I will say, let's assume for a moment, by the way, that when Rachel was married to Reuven, this was their second marriage. Beforehand, Rachel was married to Yaakov, and Yaakov died. So she came into her marriage already with the status of an amana. So he says to her, you are hereby permitted to any man, except as an amana, you can't marry a kohen gadol. Grusha vechalutz lekohen head, or now as a divorcee, you can't marry a kohen. Mamzeres unasina liyisrael, bas yisrael mamzer lenasin. So we'll say, essentially what he says to her in these cases is like this. You can't marry a kohen gadol because you're an amana. You can't marry a regular kohen because you're a grusha. You can't marry a mamzer. You can't marry a nasin. So we'll say, so technically speaking, these are all people to whom she is prohibited to marry anyway. But if he stipulates this, v'chol mishei shalav kiddushin, I will say, remember again, We paskin that kiddushin tofsin bechayve lavin. We paskin that if you have a marriage that is punishable by a lav of prohibition, even though you're not allowed to do it, if you did it, ultimately it works. It works. So we'll say. And so in this case over here, what he's doing is he's making a tanai. What's the tanai? You are permitted to marry any man except the men who are usher to you through a lav. I will say if you make such a tanai like that. Puzzle. Ultimately, again, the get is puzzle. Rabbi Yosef, why is the get puzzle? See, what's the distinction between the first case and the second case? In the first case, he is making a t'nai that she can't marry men with whom she cannot affect kiddushin, right? In other words, Rachel can't marry her father. She can't marry her father-in-law. She can't marry her brother-in-law. These are ervas, right? These are arayas cases. These are kares cases. So kiddushin does not take effect in any case of kares. So therefore, he's not introducing anything new because she couldn't marry these men anyway. Masha'enkin, in case number two, these are relationships that are punishable by a lav. Technically speaking, as much as you're not allowed to affect marriage in these cases, if you did, it works. If an amana marries a kohen gadol, does the marriage work? Sure, don't wish him a mazel tov, right? But lamaisa, it works, right? Grusha marries a kohen, it works. All of these cases, they work. They're usher, but at the end of the day, it works. So if he legislates, right, if he makes a t'nai saying that she can't marry one of these men, it invalidates the get. Says the Gemara, klala d'reisha l'asu yishar chavi krisus. So the general rule of the reisha comes to include anyone else who is punishable by kares. Klala d'seifa, ultimately, again, the klala of the seifa, l'asu yishar chavi lavin, comes to include any other cases of men who are just punishable by a lav, kigon amoni, mo'avi, nesimi, mitzvi, ve'adomi. So, by many Rav Nachman, fine. We'll say some interesting cases. Chutz mikidushe katan mahu. We'll say, it's interesting. What happens if Reuven says to Rachel, you can marry any man you want except for Shimon. And we'll say, Shimon is five. Shimon is five years old. You can marry anyone you want except Shimon. So miyamrinan hashta miha la baravihu. So on one hand, we can say, look, he's not really prohibiting anything. Why? because she can't marry Shimon anyway. He's 5 years old. So at the end of the day, he's not really prohibiting anything. On the other hand, one day he will be of marriageable age. So maybe we look at the fact that one day when he does become of marriageable age, he is precluding his wife from marrying a man, which is fundamentally problem. Which, remember again, anytime a husband prohibits his wife from marrying someone, that is a psul, that is an invalidation in the divorce, in the get. Remember again, the whole chap of a get is that now hari'at muteres l'chol adam. You're permitted to anyone. So we'll say, isn't this a fascinating question? So how do you look at the katan case? Do we see on one hand, right now he's a katan, so therefore the husband isn't really prohibiting anything. On the other hand, one day, zeh katan gadol yiyeh, right? One day, he's going to be an adult. So the ma'aseh, at that point, he is prohibiting something to his wife. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara said, let's analyze this. I'm related to Nisua. So the Gemara says, the truth is, you could go ahead and you could actually extrapolate this from a different case. Listen to this. Ketana miskarashis b'kiddush avia. I'll say, if you have a situation, ultimately, again, where a ketana, a young girl, a minor, was married off by her father. Was married off by her father. What's the halacha? She has the ability to receive a get. Rashi points out over here, ketana miskareshes im kibla gita la'acha misasavia. So let's say again, you have a ketana, father married her off, now the father died, she could receive her own get. She could receive a get, right, and get out of this marriage. So the Gemara says, so amai v'haba ino v'yatsa v'haisa, but I don't understand, how is that possible? Ultimately, I will say, only a woman who is capable of getting married is capable of getting divorced. So therefore, again, this girl is not capable of getting married. In other words, on her own, she's not capable of getting married. She's only married because the Torah gives her father the right to marry her off. If she's not capable of effecting kiddushin, how is she able to receive her own get? To which the Gemara says, Ella, asya lechlal avia. Rather, I will say, what we look at her is that since one day, she will reach the level where she will be capable of receiving kiddushin. She'll become a gedola. So therefore, again, ultimately, we allow her to receive her get now. In other words, we look at her potential. Since one day, ultimately, again, she's going to reach the level where halacha lemaisa, she is able to receive the get, or receive kiddushin, we allow her to receive get now. Which I will say, tells you what, when we look at potential. We look at potential. So we'll say, see what's happening, just to zero in on this case over here. You have a girl, we'll just call her Kitana. She is married off by her father to a man, okay? Mutter, that's right, that is the biblical right that the Torah gives a father to marry off his minor daughter. So far, everything fine. But now the issue is father dies, and she wants out of this marriage, or he wants out of this marriage. So the halacha is, he can give her a get. But I will say, but how could he give her a get? General, remember again, Gittin and Kiddushin, marriage and divorce, are two sides of the same coin. I know that sounds strange, right? But Lamais again, halachically, the processes are two sides of the same coin. And therefore, what we say is, only a woman capable of affecting Kiddushin has the ability to affect divorce. Well, in this case over here, this girl is a ketana. She doesn't have the ability to affect Kiddushin. If that's the case, she shouldn't have the ability to receive a get. So what do we say? Since one day she's going to reach the age where she can enter into Kiddushin, we allow her to receive the get now as well, based on her potential. Which, by the way, is an incredibly fundamental, yisodistic idea in terms of the power of potential. I'll say that sometimes the power of your future potential allows you to accomplish things in the present as well. Right? If you believe in your potential, even if it's not yet actualized, you have the ability to accomplish things in the here and now. Because we know that one day this girl, this ketana, is going to become a gedola, we allow her to receive her get now. So we'll say, right, since one day I know I'm going to have potential to do something, that knowledge of future potential gives me present power. Future potential gives present power. So again, looping back over here, so too we would say the same idea over here, that when husband says, right, Reuben says to Rachel, you are divorced, harat muteres l'chol adam chutz mishimin. Shimon is 5 years old. So on one hand, we can say, well, right now he's five. Husband didn't prohibit anything. But Lamaisa, we see that no, since one day Shimon is going to become a gadol, husband, we look at potential, husband is going ahead and limiting something. Ultimately, again, so too over here, even though right now all Reuven is doing is prohibiting her to marry a katan, who she couldn't marry anyway, since one day this katan is going to be a gadol, this is considered to be something lacking in the get, and the get will be invalid. Next. Chutz minan oladim mahu. So what's an interesting case. Reuven's divorcing Rachel, and Reuven says to Rachel, you are permitted to every man, except for anyone who will be born. Okay, so in other words, he's prohibiting her from marrying anyone who's going to be born after the time they, or at the, from the time the get is given and on. So mahu, hashta mihu lo iskalit. So on one hand, no one's been born yet, right? So Lamaisa, again, Reuven hasn't really gone ahead and, in other words, no one has been born yet, so to speak. In other words, that like he hasn't prohibited anyone who is currently in existence. On the other hand, Odilma, Asidi Dinizaldi, people will be born. Right? So in other words, Lamaisa, is he prohibiting her from marrying people? The answer is, in the moment right this second, no. But Lamaisa down the road, absolutely. Absolutely. Amrei Tanisua. So he said we learn this. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that if halacha lamaisa, the husband prohibited his wife from marrying an eved, right? Eved kenani. This is your get on the condition you don't marry an eved kenani or a gentile or novi kochavim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that's fine. That actually does not that does not undermine the get. But whatever. But one second. In isa eved ve'ovi kochavim nami avidi demegairi. But one second, we should say that should be a problematic condition also. Why? I'll say the Eved or the Ovid Kochavim could always convert. So we should say you shouldn't be able to prohibit her from marrying an Eved or an Ovid Kochavim because Lamai said they could always convert. So again, the fact that we don't say that indicates to us what? That Lamai said we're not choshesh for future things. So too over here, we should say that if he says to her, this is your get on the condition that you don't marry anyone who is born, we shouldn't worry about such a condition. That's a future condition. Also, shouldn't worry about it. To which the Gemara says, no. Hanach lav liyirei kaimi, hani leis layudei kaimi. There's a very big difference, I will say. It's the normal course of action that people are born. It's not the normal course of action, right? That an Eved or an Oved Kochavim convert, right? That's not the norm. Chutz mi balacho, so fine. So we'll say, so therefore, again, salocha lemaisa, fine. So the Gemara seems to indicate that actually would be a problem. Chutz mi balacho, so mahu. What happens if Reuven says to Rachel, this is your get, on the right? If you're permitted to every man, all right? Chutz mi balacho, so except for your sister's husband. And I will say, now remember, at the time of the divorce, Rachel can't marry her sister's husband anyway, right? Why? Because a man can't be married to two sisters, it's Aser. So here, so interestingly enough, here the husband, is right, Reuven is Asering his wife to someone who is already Asura to him. I'm sorry, who she is already Asura to. So Mahu, Hashtam Yalochaz, you're like, on one hand, right now, right, so Lamaisa Rachel cannot marry her brother-in-law. On the other hand, Odilma Zimnim de Mesa Chosa v'Chazila. On the other hand, maybe Rachel's sister will die. Now, I both say, if Rachel's sister dies, she would be permitted to marry her brother-in-law. Right, in other words, the prohibition to marry two sisters is only when they're alive. But Lamaisa, if a man is married, right, to a woman, he can't marry his sister. But if his wife dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. So the Gemara says, Amrlei Tinisua Le'Eved Ula'Oved Kochavim. To which the Gemara says, I remember again, this Mishnah's case. Husband says to his wife, this is your get, right? And you're permitted to everyone except for an Eved and an Oved Kochavim. So the Gemara says, Eved va'Oved Kochavim, nami avidi demegairi. Now let's say, ultimately again, you could have a situation where they could convert. So in other words, the point the Gemara is making over here is, the question is, here's the fundamental question. When a husband goes ahead and makes these conditions, essentially, do we look at what the condition is now, or do we look at what it could become in the future? Right? So for example, over here in this case, he says, this is your get, you're permitted to everyone, except for your brother-in-law. So right now, the husband is not prohibiting anything, because she's already asura to the brother-in-law. On the flip side, if Rachel's sister dies, the brother-in-law becomes someone who is permitted to her, right, and now it effectively becomes prohibited because of the tanai and the get. So do we look at what it is now, or do we look at what it's going to become? So the Gemara wants to bring a raya. The fact that, remember again, the Mishnah's case, where the husband says, this is your get, this is your get, you're permitted to everyone except for an Eved and an Oved Kochavim. Now we'll say, right now, Eved, Oved Kochavim, could she marry them? Could she marry them? No. But what could happen? What could happen? They could convert. They could convert. Now, the fact that the Mishnah doesn't seem to take that into account indicates to us what? That we only look at what is, not what will become. To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Gerus lo shchicha, misa shchicha. Ultimately, again, conversion, uncommon. Death, very common. Death, very common. So therefore, Aloha Lamaisa will say, death, very common. So therefore, again, is there a possibility that Rachel's sister is going to die, and therefore, again, her brother-in-law suddenly becomes available, and now as a result of the Tanai and the Get, Rachel can't marry him? Yeah, that's actually not a far-fetched case. So because of that, halacha lemaisa, if he were to say, except for your brother-in-law, it would actually be a problematic condition in the get. So I will say, this becomes the fundamental tension about whenever you have one of these tanaim, right now, the tanai doesn't actually prohibit anything to her, but ultimately, again, it could down the road prohibit something to her. So how do we look at that? So we'll say, so this is an important distinction that the Gemara is making, is essentially, we have to look at what's common / probable versus uncommon and improbable. So for example, conversion is going to be uncommon, improbable. That's why Allah reminds if he says, sir, this is your get, you're permitted to everyone except for an Eved and an Oved Kochavim, we don't say, well, one second, one day they may convert. Now, that is uncommon, improbable. Versus, you can't marry your brother-in-law, which right now is usher, but it's not uncommon and improbable that the sister dies and suddenly this man becomes permitted. That would be a problematic thing. I also mentioned to you that this line over here is actually very profound. Gerus lo shchicha, misa shchicha. Right? Conversion is uncommon. Death is very common. I will say, what's the power of conversion? What's the power of conversion? The power of a ger is, the Gemara says, ger shen is gayer kekatan shen no la dami. When a person converts, ultimately, again, like a rebirth. But say, everyone undergoes a gerus, right? Every single time a person reinvents themselves, there's a gerus there, right? Gerus represents a process where a person chooses to totally, fundamentally, and comprehensively reinvent themselves, right? A person can be born Jewish, but still undergo a gerus. Right? Every single time you choose to reinvent yourself, that is a quasi-gerus, that is a quasi-conversion. And the Gemara is highlighting a fascinating dynamic of the human condition. Right? Gerus lo shchicha. Jose, even though we have the ability to reinvent ourselves, unfortunately, we often don't take advantage of that opportunity. Gerus is not shchicha. You know what is shchiach? Misa. Death. Now we'll say, what is death? So death is living in an unchanged state. So we'll say, if you think about this just a moment, right? The scariest part of death, right? We believe in Olam Haba. So if we believe in the world to come. So for us, what's the scariest part of death? The scariest part of death is like your assets are frozen, right? In other words, that when you die, whatever you've accomplished in this life, that's what you have, right? You can't get any more mitzvos. There's no more growth. There's no more change. There's no more aliyah. Once you die, that's it. Whatever you accomplish in 120 years, that's what you got. That's the scariest part of death, right? Once death comes, there is no reinvention. Once death comes, there is no more gerus. Once death comes, there's no more growth. So I'm going to say, it's so profound. The Gemara saying over here is, misa shchicha, right? Death is pretty common. Death is pretty common in life also, by the way. Right? A lot of people are dead even when they're alive. It doesn't mean they're doing bad things. Just a lot of people just flatline in life. We just go through life and kind of like, all right, this is what I've established. This is the baseline. This is where I am. And I'm just going to coast my way through. That's pretty common. Gerus lo shchicha. Well, see, you know what's uncommon? What's uncommon is conversion. What's uncommon is finding people who have the koach, who have the willingness, who have the power to reinvent themselves over and over and over again. Now, lo shviach doesn't mean impossible. It doesn't mean impossible. It just means uncommon. We'll say, what a profound statement in the Gemara, right? So reinventing oneself is so uncommon. Living a life of death, of just flatlining, that's very common. Let's say something to really take to heart, especially as we enter into Chodesh Elul, Yamim Noraim, which is the season of Geirus. It's the season of Geirus, right? It's the season of reinvention. Let's lead lives of Geirus and not lives of Nis. Incredible. Chutz Miznuseich Mahu. We'll say, listen to this. What happens if Reuben says to Rachel? Reuben says to Rachel, ultimately, again, this is your get, and it's your get, except you can't engage in immoral behavior. Okay, so what he says is, in other words, you can't engage in znos. So what's the halacha? So mahu benisun haloshir. On one hand, he's not prohibiting her to marry anyone, right? Oh, so in other words, there's no limitation in terms of who she can marry. Oh, dilma shir bevia. On the other hand, I will say what he has done is he's curtailed her sexual activity. And maybe that's problematic in the get as well. Some late to Niso, we learned this. Remember again, the Mishnah said, if he makes a Tanai saying, you're permitted to everyone except for your father and my father. So the Gemara says, remember, the Mishnah said that's not a problematic Tanai because she can't marry them anyway. Obamai, what's the case? Well, say first white line at the bottom. Ilema b'nisuin, if we're talking about Nisuin marriage, Abba v'avicha b'nei Nisuin, inu, she can't marry her father or his father. Elalav biznos. Rather, I will say something with znos. Ula abul avichu deloshir, and it was only a case of abba and avicha that it's not a problem. Hala achar shir, but for anyone else, it would be a problem. So I will say, you see from here that if he were to say to her, this is your get, on the condition that you don't engage in any immoral behavior, curtailing your sexual activity, even though he's not limiting her marriage prospects, it would still be problematic. Maybe we're talking about a case where he's prohibiting marriage to her father or to his father. Fine. So both say, so the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe it is talking about marriage. Okay, fine. Chutz for both say that one ultimately again is still open ended. Chutz mishalo kidarka. All right, an interesting case here. Let's say he says to her again, you are permitted to any man, right? The only thing you can't engage in is bia shalo kidarka. So mao. Bikidarka haloshir, on one hand, in normative sexual activity, he has not curtailed her. Odilma mishkave ishaksiv. On the other hand, the Torah allows both for bikidarka, bishalokidarka, and therefore, again, his curtailing of this activity is problematic. Chutz mi'afaras nedarecha. What happens if he says to her, well, listen to this, you are permitted to every man except no other man could annul your vows. Interesting, right? Mahu. Benisun haloshir, on one hand, he has not in any way prevented her from remarrying. O dilma, ishay kimeneve shefer nixit. On the other hand, annulment of vows is a fundamental right of a husband, and he's holding that back. Chutz mitshuma sayech mahu. Right? Let's listen to this. He says to her, if you marry a Kohen, ultimately, again, you can't eat truma. He can't eat truma. So mahu, benisun haloshir, o dilma kinyan kasboksiv. Also, on the other hand, one hand, he has not withheld anything ultimately again from her from marriage. But on the other hand, again, that's a function of being married to a kohen. Chutz mirushasayich mahu. We'll say, what happens if he says to her, with the exception of your inheritance? In other words, your new husband, you can marry anyone you want, but he's not going to inherit you. Mahu benisun haloshir. On one hand, he has not held back anything when it comes to marriage. O dilma l'sheiro v'yarasho saksiv. Okay, chutz mikidushayich bishtar mahu. We'll say, what happens if he says you can marry anyone you want, but when you get remarried, your new husband cannot affect kidushin with a shtar. We'll say, we'll actually see this in Yeretz Hashem in just a couple of days. Right, there are three ways to affect kidushin: kesef, money, shtar, document, and bia, relations. So let's say he says to her, you can marry anyone you want, but you can't get remarried with a shtar. Okay. In other words, on one hand, Mao, Miyamrin Efshad Mekadosh Avikesubi. On the other hand, she has two other ways in which to affect Kiddushin, either with money or with Bia. Odilma Vyatsav Haisa Iskish Havios Ladadi. On the other hand, again, I'll say, again, these three mechanisms of affecting Kiddushin, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, are a package. And therefore, again, he can't withhold any of them. I'll say the answer to all of these cases. Teku. So I will say, what you begin to see, and now it comes together, this is why Rebbe said before, on the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis, Rebbe said, if you make a Tanai in the Get, the Tanai is possible. The Get is possible. Right? So I will say, because what do you begin to see? Tanayim are complicated. They're really complicated, right? And what's considered to be an effective, right? Chutz, almanas, this, that. That's why, again, we'll say, by the way, contemporarily, we do not allow any Tanai in the Get. We do not allow any Tanai to be written in a Get. We do not allow any Tanai to be articulated in a Get. And in fact, again, we go ahead and we explicitly make the husband say that he is giving this Get Tanai free. Tanai free, right? We want that articulated because you begin to see it's complicated, right? So I said, listen to that. Right? Look at all the variables we have. Chutz, right? Chutz, almanas, before the Torah, after the Torah, in writing, verbally, whole list of teku tanaim, right? A tanai that doesn't have an impact now, but can have an impact down the road. So I say, so that's why, again, you can see whenever you have a tanai, really, you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. Now, are there ways to have conditions with the Get? There are. But essentially, again, what we do is, I will say, so this happens all the time. Because you could have a couple that is working on a whole marriage agreement, right? And again, it is common in divorce that you have to have an agreement. And there's a back and forth. And there's negotiations, of course. But those things are done outside of the context of the Get. See, I will say, what's interesting to note is from the perspective of Chazal, it's clear that often divorce agreements or negotiations were kind of done in the process of the Get. Today, what we try to do contemporarily is, the Get is the Get. The Get is the Get, right? And when a man wants to divorce his wife, he should give his wife a Get, and really a Get should not be part of negotiations, right? Then there are negotiations. Okay, there has to be a divorce settlement. There might be different machloksim over here. So that has to be dealt with, but again, outside of the context of the Get. All right, Mishnah. Shavuos says this, Gufo shel Get. I will say this is fascinating, by the way. It's absolutely riveting and fascinating that we are doing this at the end of the Masechta. Right? By the way, what's in a Get? Right? What's in a Get? So this is fascinating. Again, Gufo shel Get. I will say, what is the Guf of the Get? What is the essence of the Get? Hari'at mutaras l'chol adam. You are permitted to anyone. Right? You are permitted to anyone. You are permitted to every man. So we'll say, so according to the Tanakama, that is the Get. That is it. Hari'at mutaras l'chol adam. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'dan, or v'din, di'ahavi lechi minoi. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You have to actually include a lot more wording in order to make it effective. And I will say, we're going to see they're not really arguing on what the wording is. What they're arguing is what's the primary wording. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to say like this. V'dan di'ahavi lechi. Vidin, really, it's vocalized as vidin, and this diyehevi lechi will be for you minoi from me sefer teiruchin, a book of banishment, viigeres shivukin, and a letter of abandonment, viget peturin, and a get ultimately again of releasing you lemehach for you leisnaspa lechol davar deisyatsmin to marry any man that you want. So both according to Yehuda, you need much more explicit lashon that this document dissolves any last vestige of marriage. Right? According to the Tanakama, you just need to say, Hari'ak mutaris l'chol adam. They will say, by the way, according to the Tanakama, this goes back to the fact that marriage and divorce are two sides of the same coin, right? How do you affect marriage? Hari'at mikudeshes li, right? How do you affect divorce? Hari'at mutaris l'chol adam. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You need that statement, but you need a lot more explicit language in the get. Guvo shall get shichur. What about a get shichur? I'm also remembering again, get shichur now, we're switching gears a little bit. Get shichur is document of emancipation for an Eved Kenani. Hari'at baschorin, hari'at liatzmeich. Either a lashon ultimately again of you are free, or you now belong to yourself. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Amr lo ishta hari at baschorin amr velo klum. I will say, if a man says to his wife, let's say Reuben wants to divorce Rachel, and he says, you are a baschorin, or he writes in a document, you are a baschorin. Shabbos say, it's Pashat, that is not a get. But say, why is that not a get? Why is that not a get? She was a baschorin anyway. Rav Zal say, a married woman is a baschorin, a married woman is a free woman. So telling her, you're a baschorin, ultimately, again, lo amar v'lo klom. Amar lo v'shif chaso, hari ak mutar z'cholot lo amar v'lo klom. And obviously, if a man says to a shifcha, ultimately, again, you are permitted to any man, that statement is also meaningless, right? Because obviously, again, a shifcha is not married. She's permitted to any man she wants. So I will say, this is interesting. What about if Reuven says, and I will say, by the way, I just want to be clear, even though we're using these Lashonos of he's saying, obviously, a get is a document, right? A get has to be in writing. So what we're asking over here is, what happens if Halacha Lamaisa, he uses these Lashonos in writing? So what happens if he writes a document, Hari Akli Atzmeich, you are hereby for yourself, or Hariat, behold, you are li atzmeich, in your own domain, right? Or in your, what's the right way to translate this?
On your own.
Good, or on your own. But it's li atzmeich means like, you belong to you. You belong to you, right? Li atzmeich. Yeah, you belong to you. So now, so what was it? What's the effect of that statement? Or that get? So now, legamrei kamrala. So we'll say, is he saying that, look, now I have no rights in you, so to speak? So lemaisa, that is a lashon of divorce, right? Because a husband does have rights, right, within his wife or within her property. So now is he saying, like, I have no rights in you, and therefore halacha lemaisa, again, rights is the wrong word, but no entitlements, right? There's no relationship, and therefore that is lashon of divorce. Olam halacha kamrala. Or maybe I will say, Hari atli atzmeich is another way of saying, right, you keep your earnings, I'm not supporting you. Right, you get to keep your earnings. Maybe it's an earnings statement, not a marriage statement. Amar Rav Avinu Rav Ashi, Tashma Disnan, Gufo shel get shechrer. What is the guf, right? What is the body of a get shechrer, document of emancipation? Hari at baschorin, you are hereby free. Hari at li atzmeich, you hereby belong to you. Uma avda de kanele gufe, that was when it comes to an eved, where ultimately the master does actually own the person of the eved. Ki amale hari at li atzmeich kani gufe, the lashon of hari at li atzmeich works. Isha de lo kani gufe lo kol shekin. Now let's say this is interesting. Mari's fascinating observation. If hari at li atzmeich works by a shifcha, by an eved, right? So I must remember again, what's the relationship between an adon, a master, and the eved? Right, the master owns the eved. Literally, again, you own your eved. If a lashon of hari akli atzmeich, right, you belong to you, allows an eved to go free, where the adon owns the body, then certainly hari akli atzmeich should be an effective lashon of divorce, where the husband doesn't own the body of the wife. Right, the husband has certain maybe entitlements or certain rights, right, but not in the body, right, but ultimately again, in like the property or other things. So if that lashon is strong enough to affect emancipation of an eved, it certainly should be strong enough to affect divorce as well. Incredible. What happens if a person says to his eved, I no longer have anything to do with you, right? I have no involvement in you. No involvement in you. Now, what's the halacha? We'll say, does that work? We saw this before. If a person sells his eved to a Gentile, the eved goes free, right? We penalize the master. The eved goes free. But ultimately, again, but the eved still requires a get shichrar from his original Jewish master. Remember, we don't want a Jewish master selling his eved kanani to a Gentile master, right? Because lamaisa, again, it's mafkiyah and prevents him from performing mitzvahs. So ultimately, again, so therefore the eved goes free, but he still requires a get shichrar. Amr b'shemeng amiel, when is that so? B'shelo kasav alav ono. When the first master, the Jewish master, didn't write a shtar ono, ksav ono, aval kasav alav ono, but if he wrote a shtar ono, zeh shechru, that's his shechru, that's his emancipation document. My ono, we'll say, what's a shtar ono? So the more so, Amrav Sheshes, because of luck, shet barach mimenu, so the first master writes to the Eved, if you run away from your new master, Ainli Esek Becha, I have nothing to do with you. So Rabbah said, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lashon of Ainli Esek Becha, I have no involvement in you, is in fact a proper Lashon of Shechrer, a proper Lashon of emancipation. Incredible. Weiter, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'don Dehavi Lechi Minoy Sefer Terechen Ve'ger Shvukin. Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not just enough to write, Hari'at Mutaris L'chol Adam. You need to have a more expansive Lashon, right, as we saw in the Mishnah. So my Kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? Rabbanan Savri, Yadayim Sheina Mochichos Havin Yadayim. So Rabbanan Savri will say, remember again, this goes back to our Nadaran days. The Rabbanan hold that partial statements that are not explicitly clear, but are clear enough, work. The Rabbanan feel that once you write Hari'at Muteres L'chol Adam, what else is happening here, right? In other words, I understand it's not a complete statement. It's not a complete statement, right? It's what we call Yadayim Shein Mochichos. It's not an explicit statement. Or I should say, it's a partial, inexplicit statement, but it's clear what it is that you're trying to do. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Yadayim Shein Mochichos L'chol Adam. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, partial statements that are not explicitly clear don't work. And therefore, Hari'at Mutaris L'chol Adam, I don't know, yeah, that sounds like Gerushin, but why don't you just be more explicit? Just write out explicitly what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So Rabbi Yehuda wants to suggest that's the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Incredible. But Taima, the Kasav La V'dan, Muchacham Milsa, the Baha'i Gita, Kamagarish La. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it's only when you write the rest of the statement, the Din, the Yehavi Lechim Inai, the rest of it, that it becomes explicitly clear that this is a get. Avalo Kasav La V'din, Amri, B'dibura Garsha, Ushtara Raya Ba'almahu. So Rabbi said, this is very interesting. The challenge we have over here is, if you don't write this whole Vidin, this whole statement that Rabbi Yehuda has in the Mishnah, it sounds like maybe the husband is trying to affect the Gerushin verbally, and the document is only coming as a Shtar Raya, right? As a document that proves that he divorced her. In other words, but that divorce is not actually happening with the get. It's only when you use the more explicit Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda that it is clear how is Gerushin being affected through the document itself. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to continue with this, but this is a fundamental machlokes. So again, the Rabbanon will say, as long as the document says, Hari'at Mutaris L'chol Adam, good to go. That's enough. Rabbi Yehuda, no, that is not enough. It has to go ahead and have the entire Lashon, ultimately, again, also of V'din di'havi lechim inai, sefer terechin v'ger shvukin. We'll say the resolution of Yeretz Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach. All right, Chabran Zoom, have a great day, everyone.